Hi, this is Cynthia Davis. Do you care about the legislation being passed in your state? In this edition of Homefront, Nick Neuberger shares with us his story of how he got involved and how with a simple tool we can all create some accountability. Stay tuned as we talk about some of the tools you can use to make your voice heard in your legislature. Welcome to Homefront on Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm Cynthia Davis, your host. As a writer, speaker, and former legislator, we discuss limiting government, fiscal responsibility, and fair taxation. I'm a mother of seven and a wife of one for over three decades, so I bring you my personal experience. And now it's time for Homefront with Cynthia Davis. Thank you for joining us. Tonight we have a very special guest. We have Nick Neuberger. He is developing IT solutions for the St. Louis area for the past 18 years. He's the owner of Green Tech Innovations, specializing in solutions ranging from custom web development to mobile applications. For the past 2 years, he has developed three mobile applications on the iPhone and the iPad. Nick is married with five children and lives in Washington, Missouri. Nick is especially special to me because he developed this program called VoteTrack, which is a software program you can load on the iPhone. It is an extremely valuable tool to help citizens track their elected officials. So thank you for joining us, Nick.
Thank you very much.
Hey.
Got me on the call.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some really amazing stories. I want to back up for a minute. When did you become interested in politics, and where did that all begin?
Well, that was about 2 years ago. It was during the 2012 presidential campaign. I actually got a bet from a friend to do research on all the specific candidates. So that's initially where I started learning about politics, learning about, you know, our elected officials. Prior to that, I didn't really have a whole lot of experience. I just went to the voting booth and kind of voted how I thought it was.
So who was this friend, and how did he inspire you to do some of your own research?
Well, we originally had this bet that just basically said, let's research all the candidates. So, you know, I researched Mitt Romney, Ron Paul, and some of the other ones, and I started narrowing down, doing a lot of research, started narrowing down. I ended up actually with Ron Paul because his message just rings clear as far as, you know, constitutionality, as far as the liberty-minded aspect of each one of the campaigners. And the same thing happened with my friend. You know, we both ended up with Ron Paul. And originally, he actually favored Romney. So it was kind of a fun thing. I really enjoyed researching all the specific candidates. And that's basically where I ended up. And so I really started getting engaged and learning a lot more about politics. So I'm fairly new. It's really only a couple of years.
We all kind of looked at the candidates and were puzzled by the thoughts that sometimes, let me back up. The reason many people preferred Mitt Romney is because he looked like a candidate. He had the best haircut, he had the best suits, and he did a very good speech. And this is the problem with the country. You've got people who have the best haircuts and they look good on TV and they have the best funded campaign, which means they can fabricate themselves into whatever the survey says they need to be, and then they get the votes. It works like a magic charm every time, or almost every time. You compare, now put an image in your head of what Mitt Romney looks like compared to what Ron Paul looks like, and you'll find Mitt Romney fits our image of what we want a candidate to look like a little closer. Now, the problem is, if we base our voting choices on who looks the best, who speaks the best, who has the slickest, most polish on him, then how are we going to make decisions based on what is good public policy? And I think what you're saying is you looked at their public policy positions and you said, I think I like the way Ron Paul thinks a little bit better than the way Mitt Romney thinks.
Correct. That's absolutely correct. I looked at all their different, you know, mindset as far as, how do I want to say this? You know, I looked at their foreign policy. I looked at, you know, how they're looking at specific states' rights, you know, certain things like that. And I just ended up liking Ron Paul's message a little bit better. He was just firmly committed to the Constitution. And that's the biggest thing that rung really clearly with him. You know, he was just straight. You know, he's very firm on, you know, privacy rights, very firm on Second Amendment rights. You know, everywhere I found the information I found from him was, you know, he was strictly a constitutionalist and liberty-minded. You know, he didn't care too much about you know, social issues.
When I first got elected to the Missouri House of Representatives, I didn't have any group to guide me. I knew that we swore to uphold the Constitution, but I never had a voter walk up to me and say, hey, can you please make sure you're constitutional? No. Most of the voters want you to vote for what is in their best interest. And if it means giving more money to a special interest group, then that's the issue my constituents would bring to me. Therefore, my goal as an elected official became pleasing my constituents. If my constituents ask me to be constitutional, then that is a game changer. But sadly, that's not the way it usually works. So I went through the entire 8 sessions in the legislature without believing there was anybody but me who actually cared about the Constitution. I had many late nights in my office trying to puzzle through bills, trying to read them, trying to understand them without any guide. And to be elected, you don't have to know anything about laws or the Constitution. You just have to know how to win an election. There are not that many people in the Capitol who will guide you, who will teach you, who will show you. Even if there were people who wanted to show you how the game is played, how do you know they're going to show you the right tricks? How do you know they're not going to show you instead the tricks of how to win your election and how to please the lobbyists while not being constitutional? Because there are rewards for people who vote in a way that sends money to special interest groups. I never even heard of the Locke and Smith Foundation. The first time I heard about it, after my 8th session got over, my assistant called me on the phone and said, you've been invited to attend a dinner down in Springfield, Missouri, but you have a conflict on that night. What should I tell them? And I said, well, obviously there's no way I can be 2 places at the same time. Plus, I've never been invited to a dinner down in Springfield, Missouri. Surely they understand that I don't represent Springfield. I live 227 miles from Springfield, so it's not like we're even neighbors. Furthermore, she said, it's this group. I said, who's inviting me to dinner? She said, well, it's this group called Locke and Smith. And I said, Locke and Smith? I've never been invited by a gun group before. And I know that's a common mistake probably other people would make if they admitted to it, that you think of Smith and Wesson.
Yep. And a Glock.
Right. So nevertheless, I told her not to bother. I don't think that makes any sense. I would decline. Then I was on Facebook one night, and I got a message that popped up from Tom Martz, and it said, hey, are you going to come to the dinner in Springfield? And I typed him back, no, and not only that, but I don't usually go to these gun things. And he wrote me back.
To your surprise.
Yeah. He said, well, you've been named as one of the finalists, so it would be kind of nice if you would go. And thanks to him for encouraging me, I did. But when I got to the dinner, I have to tell you, the blood drained from my face when they announced I was the winner.
Oh, wow. I can imagine. It was probably a great event, too.
It was a great event. And what made it great is this is the first time anybody had honored those who upheld the Constitution. Without the Lock and Smith organization, I didn't think anybody noticed or cared. And what made it doubly special is I didn't even know there was an award to be won or earned. Todd Martz has corrected me frequently when I say I won an award, and he's like, no, you earned the award. You didn't win it. It sounds like so many awards from other groups are given out based on a vote of who everybody likes. Well, you know what? People who are constitutional are not the most liked people in the Capitol. I know this surprises you to hear it, but...
I'm sure that's definitely the case.
So when I went there, I was really honored that even when I didn't know anybody was watching, somebody was watching, and yet I would have loved so much to have known that there were people who cared. Now we've linked it together just as I was ending my last term, and you have come in recently, and you came up with a fabulous idea of making an application for a cell phone. Can you explain to us where did that idea come from, and did somebody ask you if you could make it, or was it your own idea?
Well, initially, after the 2012 campaign, I really started getting interested in politics and actually seeing through, you know, the political spectrum, you know, the rhetoric and all that information that, you know, people get from, you know, mostly the mainstream media. And so I started learning more about Missouri state legislation. And I'm a computer guy. I'm a computer developer. So I sit there and work. And during that time, I actually listened to podcasts and certain things like that. And, well, I started listening to the live audio streams from the Missouri State website while they're in session. And so I really started learning how can I use my talents and my treasures, my God-given talents, to, you know, try and make this a little bit more exposed, not really exposing, but, you know, more transparency, I guess, into government. And, you know, I started listening to the live audio and trying to understand who specific reps are when they're called out, you know. We'll just say Kurtman or certain other people that I didn't know. I started going, okay, who's this guy? And I said, you know, how can I build an app that real quickly allows people to get information? The greatest thing about technology is it's right at our fingertips, and that's where I saw there was a big gap there. You know, we have a lot of websites all over the place, but when you need information to get people more engaged, that's where I started thinking, hey, I need to build an app that people can use, that grassroots people can use, or even state reps can use. And that's where I started the motivation for the app.
I would have loved to have had an app when I was there. How long did it take you to develop the program?
Well, I think I started in May of last year. It took me about three months, and I actually unveiled it at Paul Kurtman's event, a Liberty Minded event last year. I think his event was the end of August, so it took me about 4 months to build it. About 200 hours.
200 hours is very a deep commitment, and if more citizens cared, it would change the country. I saw the YouTube video that you put together showing how it works. What I love about it is, first, if you don't know anything about politics, that's okay. You type in your county where you are, and it will tell you who your representatives are or who's near to you. You're going to put in there how they rated with the Lock and Smith ratings, the criteria.
Yeah, there's there's so many features I put into the app that are so quick. I'll give you an example. I went down to Branson the end of last year, and I did a quick search on the county. Can't remember which county it is down there, but I did a quick search and found out which reps there are, and that's kind of how powerful the app is. You can literally call or email any of these reps at any time. That's where I think this app will really help as far as a grassroots effort.
Well, we're sick and tired of getting songs and dances. What's happening that has become the ruination of the country is people may say, well, I voted for something or against something. Most of the time, we don't even know how they voted. And then if they voted wrong, we want to know why they voted wrong, and then they give us a really sweet little story, and it sounds so nice that you surely can't hold it against them. But the truth is, when they're in session, every year they're voting to take away our freedoms. And it doesn't even matter which party is in charge, because we're losing freedom every day in this country. Somebody has got to have a conscience. What I like about your cell phone app is it allows people to stay up with what's going on. So if people want to schmooze us and bamboozle us, we can say, no. I know what that bill's about. I read it, and you got it wrong. That's not what it's about. I had an interesting story happen to me recently in my backyard. Somebody, a developer, came in my backyard without my knowledge or consent and cut down one of my trees. It was a 28-inch diameter black oak tree. It was a beautiful tree, and I liked my tree. They cut it down, and it's gone. There are so many parallels with what's happening with the legislative session. Anytime the legislators from any state are in session, they are dangerous to our freedom, and they are cutting down our trees. And if we don't stop them, we're going to lose more trees. And a tree, once it's gone, cannot be put back. I can't go back there and say, put my tree back. No, it's kind of like getting a haircut. If they get it too short, you have to just wait a long time sometimes. So a lot of these legislators have given us, well, it was an accident, or I didn't know how I was voting. And this application may even be able to help them figure out what they're voting on and what the Locke and Smith position is, because it's based after John Locke and Adam Smith, people who understood economics, people who understood the loss of freedom, the principles of, is government doing anything that the private sector can do for itself? Is this showing favoritism? The principles that hold us to a constitutional standard work all the time. Let me tell you one more story about my tree. Some people claim they really didn't know the difference between what's constitutional and what's not, just like the guys who cut down my trees are going to claim they really didn't know if it was on my line or on somebody else's property. But you know what? Again, the problem is it's your duty, if you're a legislator, to know where the constitutional line is drawn. And if you don't know what's constitutional and what's not, the phone app can help you figure out what's not. So as a legislator, if I looked at my cell phone and typed in, I wanted to find out if this bill was constitutional or not, and if I found that Locke and Smith says it's not constitutional, I think that would prompt a phone call. In fact, I asked Tom Martz, who's in the head of Locke and Smith, if he could tell me, have you received any phone calls from any legislators this year? And he said, no. But the truth is, they can call him. That'd be fun, Nick, to put it on the bottom of there. If you say something is a bad bill, put Tom Martz's phone number. Say, call Tom.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because I had nobody to call when I was in office. I didn't know who to call. If I had a question about if a bill was good or not, I remember one time when we were voting on a home builder bill, and I tiptoed to the back of the chamber and called the head of the Home Builders Association and asked him if this is good or not. But still, we need better ideas than that. We need a resource. I don't know if you remember this, but Tom caught a lot of flack after the session got over because legislators thought he was trying to trick them, that they voted on a bill that they were told was constitutional, and they didn't find out till after the vote was over that it wasn't constitutional. Well, maybe if they'd had somebody to call, it would have made a difference.
Yeah, I've learned a lot, not just on legislation or how things work, but, you know, I've learned so much from Locke and Smith in general. I was amazed to find out that there's a group that looks at every single piece of legislation and rates the constitutionality on it. I mean, it's based on their specific rating criteria, but it's still, they look at the U.S. Constitution and the Missouri State Constitution to see if it's constitutional or not.
I was working for McDonald's when I was 16. That was probably back in 1976. I remember running the cash register, which was the first time they had had computerized cash registers. They were called idiot-proof cash registers because instead of typing in a cheeseburger is 49 cents, all you had to do is hit the button that said cheeseburger, and it would automatically put in the right price. So I call this an idiot-proof app that you don't, if you really don't want to even take the time to read the bill, you can just go to the part that says if it's constitutional or not. And that way you don't even have to waste your time reading the bill because there are other people who read the bill. You know, Nancy Pelosi had this famous quote now. I'm sure she didn't want this to be her legacy quote, but that's the one everybody remembers now. It's called, "We have to pass the bill to find out what's in the bill." And I appreciated this statement because it is so true. It is an honest look at what really happened. Thank you, Nancy Pelosi. If nobody's ever thanked you yet, let me be the first. Thank you for telling the American people how it really works.
At least she was honest.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? Guess what, Nick? That's not just Washington, D.C. That's Missouri, too.
Yeah, I'm sure it's interesting, to say the least, actually, coming from your perspective, being a legislator, a former legislator, and seeing some of those things that take place.
And because I was a whip, I would be on the floor present during all votes, and people would walk up to me and say, "What are we voting on?" Yet they've already voted. I could see their light was already lit. They already pressed red or green, and then they come and ask me, "What is this?"
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of power in the app that I think just an average person could absolutely take advantage of. And it's the good thing is that it's so quick. I almost call it myself, there's no excuse for me now to not call or email my legislator or to that matter, any of them.
Hi friends, do you like what you're hearing? Then go to my website. It's CynthiaDavis.net and sign up for my newsletter. You'll get all this information and more when you sign up for my email reminding you of when you'll hear another podcast and letting you know what's coming up next. Besides, we always have a little bit of humor at the end, so go to CynthiaDavis.net and stay in the loop. For those of you who don't like email, go to my Facebook page. It's called Homefront with Cynthia Davis. And make sure you click the like button. That way, you'll have a convenient way to see what we're doing and to get the word when another podcast is released. That's Homefront with Cynthia Davis on Facebook. My website is CynthiaDavis.net. That's where we keep all our good stuff. So if you want to get our newsletter and find more podcasts, go to CynthiaDavis.net. Hey, let's stay in touch. Shine. let's talk for a minute about the amendment button, even though that's coming next. It might be there by the time many people hear our broadcast. What I love about your amendment piece is there are a lot of bills that go very fast from being a good bill to a bad bill, or they can go from being a bad bill to a good bill, sometimes with the change of one word. Now, my question is, for the listeners who don't know how this works, imagine we're looking at a train on the train tracks. We got a long train. The bill is the engine of the train, and that's the first car you see as the train goes by. As the session goes on, and as bills make it through the legislative process, they attract more cars on the end. And eventually, by the end of session, you've got a very long train. In fact, House Research would give us a list of all the bills that are on the calendar, and then if we had a bill we wanted to see passed, we could look at what chapter another bill opened up and add our bill as an amendment to another bill. So most bills actually are not standalone bills. It would be very rare and unusual to have just a bill with a single topic. Most bills are a collection of several representatives' bills, and that's why you have people claim credit for a bill that passed even though their name is not on the bill.
Wow.
This is where it really gets scary. You could have a bill that was 90% constitutional or even 100% constitutional, and then somebody offers an unconstitutional amendment to it. Well, if I made you a pot of stew and it was 90% good and 10% rotten, would you eat it? So many legislators say, I voted for the bill because it was mostly good. It was a little bit more good than bad. Well, guess what happens then? What they do is they keep the bad and then next year come back and take away the good, but the bad stays forever. So with the amendment application, what will it look like and how will that help the legislators?
Well, that data, I'm going to be providing that from Locke and Smith. They're calling it like an amend comment or an amend feature. What Locke and Smith is planning on doing, they're still walking through each specific bill or legislation prior to, I believe, third read and passed. So when a bill is actually introduced, they'll look at that specific bill and they'll determine whether or not it's constitutional or not. They call it accept or reject. And in this case, it's called amend. And what that'll do is prior to third read and passed or approved from that specific chamber, I believe that's right, and what my app will actually do, you can go to that specific bill section, you can go to that specific bill that you're concerned with, and look on the bill detail screen, and you can see the amend that Locke and Smith has actually said, okay, we would like this piece of legislation to be amended or changed to a certain degree, and they'll actually have their comments on that specific section, say a specific statute is not constitutional or it's redundant, certain things like that. Locke and Smith's actually going to have comments there on that bill section, and within my app, you can literally, on that bill detail screen, you can email the sponsor or the co-sponsor. You can go back and drill down on their name, literally call them. So there's a lot of potential that any person, any constituent, or even a legislator can actually look at that and say, okay, well, why don't we change that specific piece, that specific sentence in the amendment or in that specific bill, and possibly change legislation before it's actually voted on.
And what's great about that is so many times you can take a bill that, you know, the old expression, close but no cigar. Some bills come close philosophically. You understand what the author of the bill intended, but they don't quite get it right. Like the gun bill last year. I don't know how involved you were with that, but the problem with the bill, according to Tom March, it had the same fatal flaw in it by the end, which could have been fixed very easily. So many bills pass, and they weren't intended to be that bad, but because the lawyers who were drafting the bill didn't think about something, an unintended consequence of the bill would turn it from a bill that should have sounded fair and reasonable into something that actually takes away our freedoms or is unconstitutional. And this is what's great about the amendment. Where else could you pay a group of people? I mean, you cannot pay people to do what the Locke and Smith volunteer team is doing. We're very fortunate in Missouri to have citizens who are committed enough to being constitutional that they're willing to read 2,000 bills. I mean, if I were to send you to purgatory and say, here are 2,000 bills, you have to read them all.
and that's true. I kind of bring it back to, you know, the political rhetoric most of the time you hear from, you know, either upcoming candidates or even existing candidates. Everybody says they're constitutional or liberty-minded, this is where the rubber meets the road. Locke and Smith actually does a huge amount for that. I mean, they go through that bill and they determine if your privacy is being violated or other specific constitutional issues. It's a great thing that they do.
Are you aware of other states that have an interest in your application?
I've been trying to communicate a little bit to some people in Nebraska. Within my app, I actually am now showing representatives and senators for Kansas. And, well, within Nebraska, it's just senators. They actually have I believe it's called unicameral. They only have one chamber. An ability to where somebody can call or email their reps immediately. I don't have any bill functions, but I would imagine over time I can probably add the states as far as, you know, email contact information rather quickly. The bill aspects are a little bit more complicated, to say the least.
I have a Samsung Android. I never was one of the iPhone people yet. I've not converted to that. Not saying I won't be iPhone someday, but my Samsung was gifted to me and what can you do when you get a free phone? What's going on for those people who have Androids?
Well, I'm currently in the process of building one. It'll take a considerable amount of extra hours on my part. I would love to say I could get it out there before the end of the session. I believe it ends in May, right? I might have an actual starting version out there, possibly within maybe a month, to where it's contact information. So basically getting something out there for Android users.
So people, if they want to get the application on their phone and start becoming engaged citizens, what do they do?
They can either go to the App Store on their iPhone or even their iPad, search for Vote Track, two words, Vote Track, and you'll see a red and blue icon. You'll see my name, Nick Neuberger, and just download it. On the iPad, you actually have to select an iPhone application. Most iPad users has seen that function. You can actually download an iPhone app on your iPad. So
cool. And how much does it cost?
It's free. It's free. I do have an ad on it. Maybe down the road I might have an in-purchase app. Basically, I'll have two apps probably down the road. One that's completely free, fully functional, and one that's, you know, it might be $2. And so if somebody really likes the app, they can upgrade and purchase it. And the only difference that I'm trying to maintain is it just won't have ads, and that's it. So I want everybody to actually have every single feature.
And I do too, because you know what? It was very lonely there at the Capitol. I needed my constituents to engage with me. When I did something good, I wanted to hear some applause. And I never did anything bad, but if I did, actually, people don't understand how engaged the left is. My children remember one year when for Christmas I got an envelope with a lump of coal in it from some special interest group that wanted more funding for their frou-frou. And it was kind of funny. In fact, I saved it because it was really a very novel idea. Even though I didn't make this special interest group happy with my constitutional voting record, I saved it because it was my citizens engaging with me. Finally, I hear from them. Also, I got to tell you another funny story. One time I was presenting a pro-life bill in front of a committee. Well, NARAL, National Abortion Group, and Pro-Choice Missouri, and some of the other anti-life groups got together and filled out a form and stapled this piece of paper to 451 brown paper bags with a note to me saying, "Your pro-life policies want to make us vomit."
Wow.
And even though I have to admit, even though it wasn't the kind of message I wanted to receive, I have to tip my hat to them because that was very clever. So then it took me hours to unstaple all the notes that were attached to these brown paper bags and bring them home, and my kids had lunch bags for the next 3 years.
That's great. You reused.
Well, what's funny is the different assistants who've worked for me in my offices, what they would tell you, any legislator assistant would tell you, is they get a lot more of these clever stunts from people on the left than from people on the right. When I would vote constitutionally, I never got any of the stroking and pats on the back and all the applause. That doesn't happen from the right. It normally happens from the left. If you vote constitutional, they don't like that one bit. So my interaction with the left has been far more than my interaction with the right. People who believe in constitutional values just tend to think, leave us alone, you take care of protecting my freedom, and maybe I'll come out next election day and vote for you. But they don't engage in the process during the session, not at all often. What I like about your app is you can, with a click of the button, you can call them right away. And even though you've got the stock phone numbers for the Capitol programmed in there, which never are answered or rarely are ever answered by your representative or senator, it looks like there's room to go ahead and enter their other numbers if you get one of their real numbers that they really answer, correct?
I might have to make a slight change for that, but still, at some point, I will absolutely need to support for multiple phone numbers for legislators. I have noticed that on other states. On other states, they actually have on their website 2-3 phone numbers. One's their office number. One might be their specific, field location, I guess.
Well, if people have a smartphone, they're probably more likely to send email anyway. And email, gets to them very quick.
Yeah.
If you do a phone call, you have a better than 50% chance of getting voicemail. You have a very small chance of actually getting a person to pick up the phone. That's just the world we live in today. So I, as a former legislator, would feel emails a tad more effective anyway, plus you've got the staff tabulating how many email messages come in. But I love both of them. What I love is it makes it easy. For the first time ever, it's easy. When we get email saying there's something awful happening at the Capitol, please write or call your elected official. It's much easier if you can just press a button and boom, there's the screen. And then you can just type three words. Don't mess us up.
Exactly. I tend to look at this app as definitely a free market concept. But when I look at the app itself, you know, the free market takes the path of least resistance. If there's not so many regulations on a specific business, they're going to flow pretty easily. And I think that's the same way for people. If they have an app on their phone and they see some, you know, anti-constitutional bill or something on Facebook, they can literally go to my app, search for that rep or even their specific rep, call or email them within seconds. So I look at it like a free market type of, you know, concept. Very quick.
That's great. And if somebody wants to donate to the project, how do they do that?
They can go inside within the app. There's an about screen and there's a contribution link. They basically go in there. It accepts credit card. It's through PayPal. And, you know, they can enter a contribution from there.
Well, I'd like to thank you for your contribution, because clearly you're just doing this to help the process. And if you end up saving our state or helping other people around the country find out how they can empower themselves to engage, I just want to take a moment to applaud you. And thank you, Nick. And we're looking forward to hearing more good news from you. Do you have a website?
Anybody can go to facebook.com/ Vote Track, one word, VOTETRACK. I update that every few days, trying to tell people of new features that are coming out, ask for specific questions or suggestions there.
Neat. Well, you've been great, and I wish you more success in the future with everything you're doing, because you're certainly doing your part. Is there any one last thing you want to tell our listening audience?
There's a few things. I would consider, you know, coming up with your talents and treasures, see how you can help, you know, from a grassroots perspective, start helping saving our nation, saving our state at the county level, at the state level. You know, that's one thing. Another thing is, you know, try and get engaged, you know, within the political process, start learning what your legislators are doing. Start seeing how they're voting, and, you know, if they're voting constitutionally or not. There's a lot of powerful features inside of my app. Some of the future features that I'm coming up with, of course, is the Android version support. Another feature is like a bookmark feature, to where you can actually bookmark a specific set of legislation. Say if you search on, say, firearms or school, you know, Common Core, you can actually bookmark those features. That feature will be coming out probably in the next month. And another real exposing transparency feature is what I want to do at each bill section, actually showing how that specific rep voted. Did they vote yes or no on this bill at this specific point in time? Kind of like what you were saying earlier. You know, I'm going to try and support some other states as far as contact, phone number, email information. I think it's a great cause, so I'm trying to add some, you know, some fairly good features out there.
Thank you, Nick. Well, it's been a pleasure hearing from you, and we look forward to hearing more from Locke and Smith. Does Tom March call you and import the information on what's accept or reject?
Well, I have something set up to where I will automatically pull that information from them. So when they make changes, when they go to their committee meetings, I believe they have one or two per month, not sure, it'll automatically get loaded into my system.
Neat. So. Well, thank you for doing your part to save the country.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot of us to really, you know, get engaged, you know. I think there's a big, I think people are starting to wake up. I'm very positive. I think people, I think the right people are starting to wake up, and they are slowly becoming engaged.
Sounds good. Well, you have a good evening, and will you want to be on our show again sometime if you have a new update?
Yeah, sure, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you for being our guest.
Okay.
All right, we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks.
This has been another edition of Homefront on Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm Cynthia Davis and hope you enjoyed our program. Please join us next week when we offer another infusion of truth, honesty, and solutions that will grow people bigger and shrink government smaller. Thank you for joining us. See you next week.